Rochester Regional Health, built by the community for the community. It's in that spirit we bring you Rock Your Health Radio. Here's Bill Klaproth.
The Rochester General Breast Center is the first center in New York to be a certified quality breast center of excellence by the National Quality Measures for Breast Centers, a quality initiative of the National Consortium of Breast Centers Incorporated. And my guest today is Dr. Lori Medeiros. She is the medical director in the Rochester General Breast Center. Dr. Medeiros, thank you so much for your time today. That is quite an achievement. Can you kind of give us an overview? What is the significance of that designation?
Sure. So we are a comprehensive breast center. So we do treatment for breast cancer, as well as also, you know, doing diagnosis and management of other issues with the breast, which include not only breast cancer, but benign disease and high-risk screening. So what we do is we look at our quality measures. So we actually monitor our performance across a lot of these different goals, and we submit this to the National Quality Measures for Breast Center, Quality Measures of Breast Centers, and we are actually benchmarked against other breast centers of the same scope within not only the state but nationally. And so this really allows us to keep a focus on what we're doing as a breast center at quality measures and making sure that we're at the forefront of new techniques in either diagnosis or management of cancers and breast disease in general.
Well, it's got to give you a great feeling of satisfaction knowing that you're doing everything you can and everything correctly in the fight against breast cancer, and certainly for potential patients. It must be a great feeling knowing that you have this designation. Dr. Medeiros, let me ask you this. What gives you the most hope when it comes to breast cancer today?
You know, the really exciting advances in breast cancer detection and management really have to do with advances in our understanding of the genetic components. So when I say that, I don't even just mean the genetic testing components that we hear about in the media so often, so testing for genetic predisposition to breast cancer, but also when we look deeper into cancers that are already diagnosed in order to see what their makeup actually is. And, you know, by being able to do some of these more advanced types of tests, which are known as genomics, this really gives us a better idea of whether we need to be doing toxic therapies or less toxic therapies to be able to achieve a really good outcome. So in a practical sense, that allows us to take women who traditionally would have been offered or recommended to have chemotherapy based on traditional factors like breast cancer size, for example, or lymph node status, and really break it down so that we're looking at what the cancer actually does or what its actual potential is on a genomic level, and then targeting the chemotherapy to that. So that ability to kind of target treatment really allows us to get away from a lot of the toxicities that can be associated with some of these treatments and really derive the most benefit for what we're doing. So, you know, it's an exciting time to be in the field for sure.
Well, that's absolutely a terrific advancement. So this genetic testing, as you call it, can you just go a little bit more in depth? How do you do that test?
Right. So when we say genetic testing, there's a little confusion between genetics and genomics because they sound an awful lot alike. Genetic testing has to do with looking at an individual's predisposition to cancer. So generally, these are women who come to see us in the breast center because of significant family histories of breast cancer or personal histories of high-risk things that have happened to them, or family histories with just generally a lot of cancer in them. And what we're able to do is have them meet with our genetic counselors, who then walk them through the process of what's involved with this test. It's generally just a blood test, and that gives us an idea of whether that woman is carrying something that we might be able to improve her odds of developing breast cancer by either using medicines or surgery in order to reduce that risk. So that's one component of it. Genomic testing, which is kind of what I was referring to with the chemotherapy piece of that, really has to do with taking a piece of the tumor. So I'm a surgeon, and generally my responsibility has to do with removing the tumor and starting the breast cancer treatment that way. And when we do surgery, that piece that we take out is useful not only because it removes the actual tumor from the body, but because it gives us a lot of information. So we take an actual piece of that, and we have it analyzed by the lab, who then looks at what the genetic components of that cancer are. So there are certain features of cancers that can make it high risk to relapse. And generally, when we send a piece of tumor for a test like that, it comes back with a score, and that gives us an idea of whether the cancer is high likelihood or low likelihood to relapse. And then, you know, helps us frame the discussion about chemotherapy. So this is used for cancers that are estrogen sensitive, where we have other treatments that can be used that may be equally or better effective against the tumor.
Thank you so much for explaining the difference between genetics and genomics. So got it now, and thank you so much for that. I can't imagine being given a diagnosis of having cancer. For someone just diagnosed with breast cancer, you know, maybe they need some comforting. Yeah. What would you say to them?
Yeah, it's devastating. I mean, you know, I think probably one of the hardest things, you know, beyond hearing about, you know, you have that diagnosis, is just the fear of the unknown. And, you know, cancer is a pretty big umbrella. So there's a lot of different types of cancers. And we, you know, unfortunately, most of us know somebody, you know, who's been touched by this. Mm-hmm. Breast cancer, you know, one of the good things about it, if we can say there's a good thing about it, is that there's a lot of research around it. And where there's a lot of research, there's a lot of options and better outcomes. So, you know, because of advances in the way that we detect breast cancer, we're able to find it earlier. So mammograms have made an important and significant contribution to the ability to be able to treat breast cancers successfully and get these women back to their normal lives. So we're able to find things earlier, which generally predicts a better outcome. And the treatments, because we have so much research into the field, the treatments have become more and more personalized, you know, and that's a word that gets thrown around a lot. But what I mean by that is that, you know, we're able to try to target treatments. So we're not just kind of sweeping across the diagnosis with a broad brush, but really honing in on what you actually need to be able to cure the cancer and get you to the next stage, you know. And just having that knowledge, I think, is powerful. But the diagnosis, I mean, the worst thing about being diagnosed with breast cancer isn't the treatment, and it's not even getting the diagnosis. It's just the emotional upheaval that comes with that. It takes people a good year to 2 years to even just kind of get back to what, you know, what's normal for them now, because it's never going to be the same as it was before, but you will get to a new normal at some point.
Well, and that's the important thing to remember. What are the most common breast conditions you see then?
Within the breast center? Mm-hmm. We see a little bit of everything. We, you know, the most common thing we do see is breast cancer. So we treat, within the breast center, we treat about 500 breast cancers a year. So it's fairly significant in number. But we also see a fair number of women who present because of concerns of strong family history for high-risk screening programs. And, you know, we partner with a lot of the imaging facilities in the area, including our own and others. You know, we're fortunate in Rochester to really be privy to some excellent imaging centers that are, you know, that are present throughout not only Rochester but the surrounding areas. And so we try to partner with those imaging centers so that women don't have to travel for the things that they can do closer to home, or, you know, change imaging facilities in which they've been comfortable with all their lives, but, you know, be able to leverage additional expertise in terms of treatment for the breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Medeiros, can you share some steps with us to improve the odds against breast cancer?
Yeah. So, you know, I think probably despite all of the media upheaval around this, the most important thing really still is getting your mammogram. And so, you know, there's been a lot of controversy about when and how often and all of that. And, you know, there is some validity to, you know, really paying attention to what you're expected to get out of a mammogram. Sometimes I feel that, you know, women sometimes have this idea that they're doing a mammogram and then they're done, you know. So they've done their yearly mammogram. That means they've prevented their cancer for the year and they can move on. And it's important to kind of realize that that's a diagnostic tool, meaning it'll help diagnose it if it's there, but it's not going to prevent it, right? So we want to do things also proactively to improve our health overall. And those include things that, you know, we all are aware of. So things like dietary, you know, keeping a healthy diet, low fat, high fiber, just as it's important for heart and other health. It's important for prevention of cancer in general. Avoiding smoking, so that's another one that's fairly controllable. Excessive alcohol use. So, you know, we're not talking about the occasional glass of wine, but excessive alcohol use has been shown to be related to breast cancer. And, you know, very importantly, it's talking to your family members about what your family history is. You know, so often we just don't really know, you know, what happened in the family and who had what. And it's hard sometimes because some of the generations that preceded us really didn't have a good understanding of it themselves, you know. So you often hear things like, my Aunt Patty had a female cancer, you know, and maybe that's as far as you're going to get. But sometimes with digging through there, you may find that you have a family history that might be more worrisome and that might require a little bit more scrutiny. So things in the family that we're looking for are family histories of breast cancer, particularly male breast cancer, which can sometimes be overlooked, but tends to be a fairly significant red flag for us in terms of assessing for genetic components to breast cancer. We also want to look for other types of cancers. So ovarian is one that I think most people are aware of. But there's also cancer syndromes that can include things like sarcoma, which is like a soft tissue tumor, melanoma, pancreatic cancers, and other cancers like that that may go along with different syndromes. So with expanded panel genetic testing, sometimes we're able to pick up genes that predispose not just to breast cancer, but to other types of cancers that may also be impacted by changes in screening and things like that.
All right. Well, that's great information, Dr. Medeiros. Pay attention to diet, avoid smoking, stay away from excessive alcohol. Obviously, family history plays a big part in this. And, you know, the genetic testing is such an important step. So can you talk about early detection? Why is that so important?
Yeah. So early detection means picking the tumor up when it's smaller and it's more treatable. And very importantly, where we can minimize the kinds of treatment that are being offered. So one of the big controversies right now is whether we're doing too many mammograms, right? And I think everybody's kind of heard about that. One of the advantages of picking up a tumor really early when it's pretty small is that sometimes we can get away with pretty minimal treatments, including sometimes just removing it with a lumpectomy and being done at that point. You know, so the earlier you find it, the smaller the treatments. Now, the success rate for treatments has improved, and that's kind of what's, you know, in a way, that's kind of what's prodded this idea of maybe we can wait a little bit because, you know, with chemotherapy, maybe we can get people to the same survival rate, which is true. But then again, if you can avoid chemotherapy, wouldn't you prefer to do that, you know? So
right.
Early detection is important for that reason. So not only is the outcome generally better, but even within the early breast cancers, which include stage 0 through stage 2, you know, the treatments may vary. So even though the survival might be the same, the treatment with a very early breast cancer tends to be much smaller and less impact on your life than when we get a little bit further down that list.
So, again, that's where the mammograms and the breast exams, self-breast mm-hmm. exams come in and are so important in daily life to just, especially those self-breast exams, just to keep a regular watch on that. And if something
yeah.
doesn't feel right, don't be afraid to call the doctor and go on in. Better to be safe than sorry. And Dr. Medeiros, why should someone choose Rochester Regional for all of their breast cancer needs?
Well, you know, I think I feel very privileged to have a really enthusiastic team that's really committed to what they're doing. And that's so important, you know, because advances in breast cancer happen not only in my field of surgery, but it also, you know, they happen pretty rapidly in the fields of radiation oncology and medical oncology and genetics. So having a team of people together that look at all these cases and work together in a way that facilitates a lot of this stuff in the background means that you have access to that cutting-edge research in every field, you know, and we all tend to work well at influencing each other in terms of what may work well for a particular case. The people are really nice here. I mean, it seems trite and it seems small, but it's a big deal, you know, because cancer, when you're starting out with a treatment for cancer, it's really a lifelong commitment. You're going to be with that same team of people for a long time. So it's not enough to just have excellence in terms of your diagnosis and in terms of your treatment, but you need to have that human compassion and, you know, this ability to be able to talk to the people that you're going to be with for a long time. And it's really a partnership at Rochester General. So it's a partnership with the patients, it's a partnership with the families, it's a partnership with the community in terms of the wonderful support groups that we have access to locally, the many imaging areas that we have, you know, locally. And so that partnership, I think, is really at the crux of what we do.
Absolutely. That personal human touch is so darn important. Well, Dr. Medeiros, thank you so much for your time today. You're listening to Rock Your Health Radio with Rochester Regional Health. For more information, you can go to rochesterregional.org. That's rochesterregional.org. I'm Bill Klaproth. Thanks for listening.